Well, it's time for our introductory sermon, and it's indeed a pleasure to introduce the brother that was selected by the investors last year. Brother Timmy Claiborne is pastor of Antioch Christian Baptist Church in Macon County, just a little ways out of Lafayette. And I have the utmost respect for him and confidence in him. And I know he would desire an interest in your prayers as he comes to bring the message for us. So,
thank you.
Bless you.
I'll say this. I want to thank the messengers for this opportunity, the association for the opportunity to stand today. As we, and I thought about this as I sat down over there. Some of you may not understand this. I know a lot of the preachers are understand this. I don't have any Paul Bryson or Don Curtis jokes, so you need to just mark that off your list. But we've had a very interesting week, and I called Brother Roger yesterday. I was talking to him. On the way home from over at Springfield, and he said, asked me if I was ready, and I said, no, I'm not. Because in the last week, I've had a regular service that lasted till 1:30, and we had a meal and baptizing. I believe I was the first time I baptized four at one time, one husband and wife. And then Wednesday, we had, of course, she had already passed away. We had one of our members' mothers passed away down in Texas. And so I did her main service was down there, but we did a graveside service at Hayesville. And brothers and sisters, her mother is about 3-4 years younger than me, and she's about my children's age. So I felt for the young lady that she lost her mom at such a young age. But as we was getting ready to come this morning, a sister at church texted me and told me that her mom, who had been seeking the Lord last Sunday in the service, had told her that, I believe it was last night, that she hadn't even been able to eat or sleep all week, that the Lord had took her back years ago and showed her where he'd saved her soul and give her peace with it. So it's been a roller coaster ride. But that's the way it is part of the time. We ask for your prayers this morning. As I thought about this, there's two different things that come to my mind. And what the Lord showed me I need to use this morning. One would be back to the basics. Back to the basics. And the other thought is distractors. And I'll bring that in, Lord willing. And brother, I believe Brother Todd last year said that he knew what he's going to preach the whole year. I haven't, but that's okay, because I'm dependent on the Lord, and that's who I'm dependent on. I know he can give a message a long time ahead of time, or he can give it to you a few minutes before you stand up, either way. And the main things depend on him. If you want to turn with us, we'll be over Matthew 28. These are very familiar scriptures down in the 16th verse. Matthew 28 and 16 says, "Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, into the mountain where Jesus had appointed them. And when they saw him, they worshiped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded that you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world." Now, I know these are very familiar scriptures to you. And like I said, the thought that's on my heart is back to the basics. And brothers and sisters, I'll tell you, if we're not doing these three things correctly, we've got trouble. We've got trouble. Because these are the core things. If these are off, it doesn't matter how many other things you're doing correctly, you're going to have trouble. The Lord said here, he said, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. He's in control. And I know as we look at this country right now, I know a lot of us see things turned upside down. And they are. And they have been, and not just 8 years. I think they've been for a long time further back than that. It began when I was a child and probably further back than that. The things got getting turned upside down because we started getting away from the Word of God and as a nation. And we started going down a path that God said for us not to go down. And it continues to pile on and pile on. But you know what? Those things are what I'm going to call distractors. Because I can't change by myself, or none of you here probably can change any of the laws in the land. But what we can do is do what the Lord give us to do, and we can change one heart at a time by doing what He give us to do. You see, those distractors takes us away from our primary goal, and that primary goal to start with is right here. It's talked about. He says, go ye therefore and teach all nations. Now that word teach there is different from the one further down. That one there means disciple. And we need to go out and disciple. And I know that don't sound the way we preach it, but let me tell you something. The way we disciple is we preach the gospel. That's exactly what we do. We preach the gospel. And we preach it to everybody that we can get it to. And I want to challenge you about this. And you have people coming into your church. And are you inviting them in? And will they come? If not, is there a place where you can go? And you can preach somewhere else. And you can have services somewhere else to take the gospel to them. Because we're not confined. This church here is not confined to these four walls. And you can go anywhere and have a service for the Lord. And take the gospel out to them if they'll come. We've been doing a lot of tent meetings at Antioch. And I'll tell you, it's been very prosperous what we've been doing. But there may be something else that the Lord would give you. A place that you can go and preach the gospel to them. Because let me tell you something. The Lord is still in control. Whenever the gospel is preached in power and demonstration of the Spirit, it still has the effect that it always did. Lost sinners get under conviction. They feel the Spirit and they get in trouble just like I did when I was a little boy. It still works. And it will keep working. Those that get saved, as we thought about that this morning, I thought about Psalms. And I love the Psalms, the different things that they wrote is so it matches up with what I have in my heart and what I've experienced. And not only what I've experienced as a boy, but what I've definitely seen since I've been trying to preach the gospel. Over here in Psalms 34 and 18, the Lord is nigh unto them that are a broken heart, and saveth such that be of a contrite spirit. Crushed and broken. That's what the Spirit does to them. And you can't do that. You can't do that as an individual. You don't have the words. But God can give you the words if you'll take and listen to Him and you'll pray. He can give you the words that are needed that goes to the heart. You see, there's not a heart in here He doesn't know this morning. And if there's any here this morning and lost, He knows your heart. You can't hide from Him. You can't hide. You can't hide. He knows you. I know that here it seems like in the last couple of months, we've got about three or four that's had to stand up. I can think of three of them right now and had to stand up and tell at Antioch that it was a time in their life when they thought they were saved. They had been on the church roll and they wasn't saved. And the Lord let them know that they were in trouble. You see, the list that matters is over in glory. And if you haven't experienced that trouble, you haven't experienced that broken heart and contrite spirit, the Lord hasn't brought you down. You need to be praying to Him that He'll bring you down. You see, people will say, well, the lost don't seem concerned. You see, I don't tell them just to wait. If the Lord's not dealing with you, you know you're lost, you better be praying. You better be praying. There's no time to wait. Don't wait for the Spirit to come. Pray that He will come. Because if you're not in trouble, you're headed for hell. And if He don't come, that's where you're going to end up. You're going to end up. And we turn over here to Psalms 40. He said, I waited patiently for the Lord, and He inclined unto me, and He heard my cry. I want to point out something to you in this verse. He said, I waited patiently for the Lord. The lost, they can't make it happen. They can't. They can't make it happen. And you can't force it. I've seen this a few years ago. I've seen a child of God trying to coach somebody into heaven. She was tore up and she was in serious conviction. But let me tell you something. You can't coach her the rest of the way in. It don't work that way. And God's got to come in and bring her the rest of the way. It's by His grace. We can't do anything. It gets to the point that we have to let them take and have to walk those last steps themselves. You see, God's grace has to come in, and there has to be that pricking in the heart to the point that they let go. And you need to, we need to understand where our bounds are at, and we need to take and let God have His glory out of salvation. I don't have a problem backing somebody up off the altar. You see, don't have a bit of trouble doing it. I've done it once in my ministry, but I'll do it. Because let me tell you something, you take, and I understand family members, but sometimes, and I know the preacher helped me this summer, he got a little upset because he thought they were talking to him too much. Let me tell you something, it's hard. You try praying somebody at some time and somebody doing this on your back all the time and some of that stuff. Let me tell you something, we need to let God take and have control and let them have a window to pray. They've got to take, and just like the woman that the issue of blood, she took and she pushed through that crowd and touched his garment. But let me tell you something. She touched more than his garment. Her heart touched his heart. And it had to be by the Spirit of God that it occurred. This right here says, I waited patiently for the Lord. Was he just sitting and waiting for the Lord to come in and burn him down heavy? No. He said, and he inclined unto me and he heard my cry. He was crying for the Lord to come. He was crying for that power. And listen to what he describes here. He brought me up out of a horrible pit and set my feet and out of the horrible pit and out of the miry clay and set my feet upon a rock and established my going. He experienced something. You see, that's the difference between us and everybody else. There's an experience. And every one of us here may have a little bit different, but the two things that tie together is there was trouble. Why is there trouble? I said we need to get back to the basics. Broken God's law. Broken God's law. Unbelief. Broken His law. You've offended God. And that's the way the young lady was seeking the Lord in her tent meeting back a week and a half or so ago. And she sat down and she told Brother Ricky and Brother Ronnie, she said, I don't know how to pray. Don't know how to pray. She'd been to another denomination for a long time. And they'd already always prayed for her. She said, I don't know how to pray. And a little bit I sat down there with her and I tried to explain to her. I said, the reason you're feeling that trouble is because you've broken God's law. And God is offended that you've broken His law. But let me tell you something. Jesus has paid the price for your sins. And if you'll take and touch His heart with your heart, He'll speak peace to that soul. And you'll feel it and you'll know it. None of the rest of us will know it, but you'll know it. Amen. She prayed and earned a little bit and she raised up and she looked at me and I was over there trying to pray myself and she raised up and she said, it's gone. And she said, I felt that. She said, peace is in there. She said, I had never felt this way before. No, you haven't. You haven't felt that way before. You haven't felt that way because you experienced something that will take you all the way to glory. Let me just tell you, if you got the real thing, see, I can't feel a heart. I don't know what's going on. All I've got to go on is what she told me, see. But I believe there was trouble there. And some of them talking about when she looked up, they saw relief on her face. I didn't see that because I believe I was still praying. But you look over to 116th Psalm. He says, the psalmist here writes, I love the Lord because He hath heard my voice and my supplications. He heard. How did he know he heard? This is a know-so experience salvation. That's what we preach. And that's what we believe. And if you don't know that you got it, keep praying. Keep praying because God will let you know. He don't want you to be in doubt. You don't need to depend on nobody else in this world. You need to depend on Jesus. He'll let you know. It says, I heard. He says, I love the Lord because He hath heard my voice and my supplications. Because He hath inclined His ear unto me, therefore will I call upon Him as long as I live. Listen to this next one. The sorrow of pain compassed me, and the pains of hell got hold upon me. I found trouble and sorrow. Troubles are. Why? Because he's broken God's law. God's letting him know in his heart. In his heart. Down on the inside, not here, just here. It may affect this, but down in here, that there's a problem. I experienced that as a child. I experienced that trouble that was in there. And the night at home, when I finally got to the point that I tried everything that I'd heard, everything that I thought, I got to the point I just told the Lord, if you'll just take me and save my soul right now, you can take me on. That's when change happened. I can't fully describe it, and I know that when the what I experienced that night, it might confuse some people. It's like everything got light, and you see, in a period of time, I don't know how long, I come back myself. I went back to trying to pray, but I couldn't. Trouble's gone. He was on the other side of that prayer. You know, it took me 2 years to get that sorted out because I'd been taking church all my life. The older brothers that are done gone now, they preached hell, and I was scared. But you see, it was only here anymore. Whenever I went, it didn't hit here anymore, and I knew a difference. And I never doubted something happened that night because I never had that experience before. And I never had it again, and I won't never have it again. You see, he prepared everything in here that I needed that night. He experienced something here. Then called, he said, here, what'd he do? Then called up on the name of the Lord. Oh, Lord, I beseech thee, deliver my soul. They got to pray to the Lord. You say, how's this going over to the disciple, then people? We need to think and know these scriptures. We need to know these scriptures and be able to talk to people about the Lord. Let me tell you something. Sunday night, the Lord come in the night service, and he blessed the brother Chase Greenhall to come and preach. And he blessed Sunday night. And when we got ready to leave, I told the ones that was there, I said, you know what? It's going to be dependent for next Sunday service? What happens between now and next Sunday morning? Not what we do Sunday morning. The time between getting where we need to be, that the Lord will take and come in and bless us again. Experience. We need to be able to work outside the church and talk to people about the Lord and do it in the right way. You see, you can't take this book and hammer people over the head because of the way that they're living. What you need to do is tell them they're a sinner when the Lord moves you. You need to tell them that they've broken God's law. We're not talking about all this other stuff, drinking and all this other stuff. I'm talking about of unbelief. They haven't believed the only begotten Son of God is He. It's Him. They haven't believed the Messiah. They haven't believed He's the Christ. They haven't truly believed. We need to point them and tell them there's a salvation they can know about. They can know about. You don't have to ask the deacon. You don't have to ask the preacher because they can't tell you. They can't tell you. You see? And we need to tell them Jesus is there and he's ready to save them. When they do one of the this is the main thing and this is what I told you and this I figured this out about 3 years ago, the word I put with it, what I experienced that night. Whenever I got ready and told the Lord he could just take me right now if he just saved my soul, that's when I totally surrendered. I gave up my life. I gave up my sins. You ever thought about that? If he'd have took me right then, I would have never sinned again. I surrendered. I surrendered. And that's what they got to do. They got to surrender. They can't make it happen. They got to want it. They got to come to the throne of grace and ask for mercy. And he's got to extend his grace to them because they cannot repent to the satisfaction. They cannot repent to the satisfaction of God without God's grace. And they can't believe to the satisfaction of God without His grace. It can't be done. You see, if it could be, it'd be with us. It's not by, not by the works that we're saved. It's by grace. By grace. He has to grant us that. The capability to do it. We've got to take and want to seek him, but he's going to give us what we need to be able to do it. Now let's go over back over to here. What's the next thing in this? Take them out and disciple them. You got to take them the gospel. And the next thing that we need to do is baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. You say, well, that's simple. It's not simple to the lady got saved a week and a half ago. You need to tell them. These children get saved, they need to be told. They need to be told that the next thing you do after being saved is get baptized. It's not optional. And you say, what do you mean it's not optional? Yeah, when they get saved, they're going to heaven. But to be a Christian, and I want to define this, and I do this with great reservation here because there's a lot of brothers I have a high degree of respect and sisters here today. I've told the church this quite often. Getting saved doesn't make you a Christian. That's what the world says. Getting baptized is a requirement for being saved is a requirement for being a Christian. Let me put it that way, but it doesn't make you a Christian. Getting baptized won't make you a Christian either, because there are more requirements than that. You got to walk with Christ the way Christ walked. So you must be a child of God to start with, just like he was. You must be baptized, and you got to walk in the way that he told us to walk to be a Christian. That's the requirements. You see, that's the ones at Antioch. They were called Christians because they were a member of the church and they were walking like Christ. It was a derogatory term thrown at them because of what they were doing. They was holding up Christ. And that's what we're supposed to be doing. What do you mean about, what's the baptism? Let's go over to Acts, the 8th chapter. Down here in 36th verse, I'll leave the rest of that out. You know about the Ethiopian eunuch. And as they went on their way, they came to a certain water. And the eunuch said, see, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? Here's the water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? If you've been saved, nothing should hinder you to be baptized. Let me just tell you. You need to go at the place that the Lord leads you. And there's too many of the people that have been saved. And they'll say, the Lord hadn't led me anywhere. Let me tell you something. If you're here today and you never have joined the Lord's church, and the Lord saved your soul, let me tell you something. When you're praying, let me tell you, prayer is a two-way thing. You can pray, but you need to listen at times and listen to what God's telling you. Because if you'll get sincere about it, God will tell you where you need to be. And I believe this, you know, some of you that we have fellowship trouble in Macon County, let me tell you something. The Lord sets the members in the church, and he doesn't want you to be out there. He wants you in the church, because the next thing we're fixing to talk about, it's the church's responsibility to make you, and I believe Brother Moran said this to me, back at the minister school somewhere, to make you a Baptist. Because when they get saved, they don't have everything they need. They need to be taught the doctrines of the church. Amen. That's our responsibility, brothers and sisters. You ask me why we have so many troubles in our church? That's because we're not doing the third thing here. But we got to start by telling them they need to be baptized. They need to be baptized. That's what he said, what doth hinder me to be baptized? And Philip said, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. That seems easy. Not, you know, a lot of moderns just take that, and that's all they do with their head. But if that individual was worried about the loss of their life because they said that, it'd be a whole different story. You know that? And I believe in these times they would worry about what they professed. And he gave a profession that he knew, he believed that the Lord Jesus Christ is the Son of God. It was a serious thing then. It just seems like it just rolls off everybody's tongue today, whether they do or not. And it says, and he commanded the chariot to stand still, and they went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. He baptized him, took him down, and took him down, and he buried him. See, the reason we do these things, it's a picture of the gospel. We have the Lord's Supper, and it's a memorial service about the Lord's death. And we take them down to the water, and we bury them, and we raise them back up to walk in newness of life. What are we supposed to do? You say, is there any other scripture to support that? Yeah, I'll tell you there is. It says here, over in 2 Acts, it says, Peter here preached a sermon here at the day of Pentecost, and when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart. Trouble come in. What I told you about earlier. And unto Peter and the rest of the apostle, men and brethren, what shall we do? trouble come in. Brothers and sisters, we need to be able to tell them when the trouble comes in what they need to do. What did Peter tell them here? Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized. Let me tell you something. You look up that word repent. I want you to take and think about this. And there's two words tied together here. Repent and be baptized. Let me tell you, you won't find, you look up baptism, you won't find a single place in the scripture where that word is used by itself and says that you're going to go to hell or be damned or anything else with just that word. But you woke up, repent. Except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. No other words. And Jesus said over John 3, except you believe, you'll perish. Look them up. Need to know those things. Need to know those things. That word believe over there is used the same word. Those two words are the only ones in the scriptures that are used independently in a sentence, and it says you will do these or you'll perish. See, but look at what Peter did. He tied them so close together that a lot of people misunderstood them and think you got to do both. Now the repenting part is what gets you to the point, and believing part gets you there where God takes and accepts you. Given that repentance and faith by His grace. And then as soon as you get saved, you need to be baptized. That's the reason Peter tied them together there. You got to do one and then the other. It's not to be in heaven, but I'll tell you, in order to satisfy God and walk in His statutes, that's the next thing you're supposed to do. You're not supposed to wait. Not supposed to wait. And He says, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. They had witnessed the baptism of the church that day. They had seen that. But let's go on down a little further. Because this ties with what I read. Down here in the 42nd verse, it said, they continued steadfast in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and the breaking of bread and in prayers. Sounds like they taught them something. Sounds like they taught them something after they got baptized. They got saved and they got baptized and they taught them. That's what we're supposed to do. Amen. That's what we're supposed to do. We got too many that are taking and getting saved, and they're going back out into the world. And that lady I told you, I don't have the rest of her testimony yet because her daughter texted me what she did and said, she texted me and said, she can tell you the rest when she sees you. That's good enough for me. I'll wait for what she has to tell me in person. I want to hear her testimony from her. But somebody there should have pointed her where she needed to go. She should have asked the Lord. She may not have known to. But we need to teach. This word teach here is different. It says teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. To observe all things. What are we doing? This is a recycling thing. You know that we're going to step into eternity. And we've got to train our replacements. We do. Because if we don't, who's going to be left to carry the gospel? We've got to train our replacements. We've got to teach them all things that they need to know to be able to take this gospel to the next generation. We can't fail in this. You ask why we got so many problems. You ask why our church is so low in attendance. You ask all these things and it comes down. You haven't told them the importance, you see. And you say, well, they're saved. They're going to heaven. I'll tell you something. A saved individual that doesn't follow the Lord is going to live a miserable life. Not as miserable as being out in their sins, but they're going to live a miserable life because they can have joy in this world. And that you can't even describe if they'll take and grasp hold of what the Lord's got for them and do what He gives. And no matter, and I'm not telling, and I don't preach this prosperous gospel that you're going to have everything and the bank account's going to grow and all that stuff. No, God gives stuff by blessings, and it may not be by the things of this world, because what are we going to do with them anyway? You're going to hand them down to your children to fight over them when you lay down in your grave? Teach. What do you teach them? If some of my guys back here go to sleep, it's okay, because the Lord told me during the revival, He said, you're going to start preaching the Sermon on the Mount. And you're going to preach it. And I've been preaching on it now for 10, 12 weeks. What about the Sermon on the Mount? For us that are children of God, it's our Mount Sinai. It's our Mount Sinai. You see, I'm not saying anything about Mount Sinai. All those Ten Commandments and all that stuff over there, that's the moral law. And you either do those or you die. And I'll tell you, children of God, that if you're out doing those things, you better be praying and asking the Lord for forgiveness, because He can bring about death here that you won't be pleased with. But the Lord here, I want you to pay attention here. Please note, He went up on the mount. And there's a difference between this mount and Mount Sinai, because Moses went up to the mount and they couldn't touch it. But He talked set and He called them up. What did He say? Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed. Blessing. And you look through these and everything here is a blessing. For doing the things that God gives us to do, and you say, and I know I do this too, these scriptures, and I told the church, I use these scriptures for the lost. But let me tell you something. These scriptures apply to us from a spiritual condition, and we can take, and you can consider a ladder that we can climb, and whenever they get saved, we need to tell them they need to take and grow spiritually, and being close to God, all these things brings you close to God. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of God. You got to get humbled down, and you got to understand that when you get saved, even when you join the church, you don't become Mr. Super Christian. You don't. You know what happens? Hopefully you become a servant. That's what it's about. That's what it's about. It's about being a servant and learning the art of your profession. Broken. Poor of spirit, brought down. Blessed are they that do mourn, for they shall be comforted. That's to the lost. No. No, it's not just to the lost. It's to us. Well, we need to take and look around us and see all the things that are going on, all the sin that's around about us, all the things where we haven't taken the righteousness that God gave us in our heart and brought it on the outside. We need to see all those things and all the things going on in our country and all the things. It's not just our country. This whole world's upside down right now. And we should mourn for those things. Why? We should have a heart that's close to God. And He says, and you'll be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. And I'll tell you, I'll be honest with you, I took each one of these and I preached a whole Sunday on it. And you're just getting a summary. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Do you really want this earth? Not me either. There's a new heaven and a new earth coming. That's the one I'm looking forward to. That's the one where all this pain and agony's gone. And the meek here, you can. I know what we all think about humble, but I'm going to bring surrender back in it. You got to surrender that this is the Word of God, and you need to look to it. You got to surrender that the Holy Spirit needs to lead you into things you need to do, and you need to learn to sort it out, which is the devil or the Holy Spirit, and you need to do that. And what the Lord gives you, you need to submit yourself or surrender to His authority and His Word. That's part of becoming meek. You don't have all the answers. God does. God has the answers. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. You say, well, that just applies to loss. No, you should have a hunger and thirst for the righteousness that's inside of you to sanctify the flesh and to be brought out. Let's not quit there. You should have a sincere desire for that same thing in your brothers and sisters, the righteousness is inside of them, that they would work out and sanctify the flesh and then be brought out. And then we should have a desire in our heart to take that which we know out into the world and take it, the gospel to them, that they'll get saved. And the righteousness of God extend out past the church. Blessed are the Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Is that not what we're doing when we're going out? Taking mercy out to them. They don't have a chance. If somebody doesn't tell them, they don't have a chance. The Ethiopian eunuch, he was heading back home. He'd been to Jerusalem. He didn't find what he was needing there. He had been there actually trying to seek the Lord, and he didn't find it. But let me tell you something. God sent a messenger. He sent a messenger to him. He was in, if you read those scriptures, and he was in a big revival there. They was preaching and people getting saved, and God said, go out there in the desert. Go out there. And there was one soul out there, but it needed to hear about Jesus. And he took to Isaiah to him, and he was reading, and he preached Jesus to him. There are people, brothers and sisters, you say it's a bad time. It's not a bad time. Let me tell you something. Where sin doth prevail, grace abound. Sin doth much more abound. I mean, grace is much more abound. Gospel. People are hurting. They are. People out there are hurting. And we have what they need. And we don't need to hide it in our four walls. Great if they come in. But if they won't come in, we need to go out to them. There's people out there that are sincerely looking for the truth. And they may not come in your four walls. There may be some storehouse that's closed that you can go to and have a revival. There may be some other place that you can go and be able to preach the gospel. There may be some group you can go to and talk to. Let me tell you something. We don't need to limit. We got to where I remember this when I grew up. There was so much preaching trying to take and cut us loose from the Southern Baptists, and that was we need to be cut loose from. I'm not troubled with that, but there was some stuff laid down that put some limits on what our people would do. And there's nothing wrong with having a church van and using it to bring people to church. There's nothing wrong with any of that, as long as you use it for the honor and glory of God. Amen. Nothing wrong with any of that. No need to mess with that modern stuff, that easy believism stuff, no. Need to leave our stuff alone. Mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. See, I've used that scripture many of a time, preaching a revival message. But you know, when you get pure in heart right here and now as a child of God, you can see God in the service. You can see God come into service, manifest Himself. That's the way I like to put it. He manifests Himself when we get where we need to be. We climb the spiritual ladder to get close to God. He manifests Himself in the service. You know He's there. You know it's not. This is something I'm very clear on. I love spiritual services, and I hate emotional services. I hate them. Oh boy, you got to be on guard when you got an emotional service. Why? Somebody may do something they don't need to do. They may say something that may confuse some lost person. We need the Spirit of God moving us in a spiritual way, and we need to do those things. And when the cloud sits still, we need to stop and wait for the Lord. We can see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Peacemakers. We have a gospel of peace. Jesus is the Prince of Peace. We take Jesus to them. That's the only way they're going to have peace, is to find the Lord. That's it. And we need to paint Him exactly the way He is. You know, there's undoubted millions of people in this country that hold up a Jesus, but they don't hold up this Jesus. They don't hold up this Jesus. The one I read about in this book. They'll tell you you can come down smiling and just make a decision, lining them up, being twofold more child of hell than they was before they walked down there. Amen. Don't get discouraged about that, brothers and sisters. If you can get them in the church or get them in tent revivals and the Lord get a hold of them, He'll tell them they got a problem. Amen. You don't have to. I'm not telling you if the Lord's moving you not to talk to somebody. No, 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 no. But I'm telling you, if He's not telling you to talk to somebody, leave it alone. Right. Yeah. Young lady got saved in her revival on Sunday morning this year. I'd known that she had a problem for about 3 or 4 years. And I didn't tell anybody why, between her and the Lord. She got in so much trouble in that service. Her and my wife have been friends for a long time, and she got in so much trouble when I got down here. She said, I got to do something. I need to pray. She was just in this couldn't stand it, and that's the way I like to see them get. Because the Lord's done let her know where she's at. She was confused about where she got it or not, and then she figured out she didn't. I don't know when that occurred, but it doesn't matter. And in that service, it got so heavy on her that her two little children, it didn't matter. The church just come in and took them and took care of them while she was praying, and in a few minutes she raised up to hug my wife, and she had the peace that she needed. Patience. Peacemakers. We call the children of God. That's seven. Ones of you looking at your Bible know there's eight. You've done everything you need to do yourself to be prepared right there. Let me tell you what happens when you get to the next one, number eight. Seven's a number of completeness. It said, blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Circles back around. We started out with the kingdom of heaven, and we ended up with the kingdom of heaven. When you get to the point where God can use you, you've climbed up and you're close to Him, persecution is going to come. It's going to come. I'm not talking about the stuff that we call persecution today. It's not, that's, you're going to go up against some people. That's okay. Because if you do it the way it's supposed to be done, with the Lord with you, you'll still be able to lift Christ up. Lift Christ up. The apostles, whenever they were arrested and put into jail, whenever they beat them and whenever they got out, they gloried. They was honored enough to suffer persecution for the Jesus Christ's name. I'm not talking about this throwing accusations and stuff. I'm talking about real physical persecution. You say, we won't experience that. I'm not so sure. I'm not so sure. There's people that don't know how to read in this country. I read the First Amendment yesterday. People don't know how to read. Don't know how to read. You think what went on in Charlotte is peaceable assembly? I didn't think it was too peaceable part of it. Freedom of speech. They want to take and close it in. But see, we're supposed to teach. You keep on reading these, you're going to find out they all come in. And the strength, and if you keep on going, what the Lord has put in the Sermon on the Mount, it'll grow them. Is there other stuff I need to be taught? Yeah. But the first thing we need to teach them is they need to get close to God, and they need to walk close to God. And whenever they fall off that ladder down, they need to take and climb theirself back up. Because you see, what they're doing is as you're climbing those 7-8 steps, you're doing it here. And what you're doing is putting the flesh down. We need to push the flesh down. Because what we need to do is just like, we need to get ourselves in a position we're willing to fall down with the other dirt at the feet of Jesus. Fall down with the other dirt. Our brothers and sisters need to be there with us, because we ain't got nothing to brag about. There's no super Christian that I can fix all the problems. That's not going to work. But see, when your brother and sister's over here doing this stuff, it maybe throw something at you, it'll just run off. Because you'll see, you'll keep your eye. Is there not a cause, brothers and sisters? Is there not a cause? There's people all around us. I have no doubt in this county, in Macon County, and all around us, there's more lost people than there's ever been right now at this point in time. There is a cause. There's a cause. We need to do it by Jesus' structure, of what He said. We need to follow what the book says. We need to leave off everything that's not in the book and do it the way He gave us to do it. We need to take them, point them to Jesus for their soul's salvation. We need to be patient and let them seek Him out until they find Him. When they find him, we need to tell them next thing they need to do is they need to be baptized. And then we need to teach them. We need to teach them each and everything that the Lord has told us to do. I've just covered just a few things we need to teach. To strengthen them. To get them strong. So when the troubles come, they won't be offended that brother so-and-so said this or sister so-and-so said that. They'll sit right there and take it for the glory of God. Because that's all what it's about. I don't go in on Sunday morning to entertain the congregation. Amen. I go in on Sunday morning to entertain God. Amen. It's pretty clear what He wants to be entertained with. He wants us to surrender. Brothers and sisters, we need to surrender. We tell the lost to surrender. We need to set the pattern ourselves. We need to surrender to the Lord's cause. Surrender to it. There is a need. There is a cause, and we need to surrender to it. And if we'll do that, the lost will see it too. They watch us. You may not think these little boys and girls are watching, but they're watching you. They're watching you. They know when you're not there two or three Sundays, and your congregation may not be none of you, but two or three Sundays out of the month you're not there, they know it. They're watching you. And we need to take and surrender to the Lord's cause, because you see what we're doing? You're becoming, the way you move up in the Lord's business is you move down. Yes. You become a greater servant. No matter how much you take on, if you want to take and be promoted, you step down. You step down into more servitude. But let me tell you something, the Lord can bless you. He blesses everything, these things here. Mount Sinai, do or die. Here, do and be blessed. That's what the New Covenant Church, amen, that's what we're supposed to be doing. Those things we're not supposed to do, don't get me wrong. I'm not putting those things aside, because those things are grounds for disciplinary action against our members. But if we'll do what the Lord gives us to do, He'll bless us. He'll bless our churches, and most of all, He'll bless those that are lost. This day, the Lord has blessed the lost, because they're not in hell right now. I don't know that that'll be true tomorrow, but we need to be about the Lord's business when we have time and opportunity. That's what the Lord's put on my heart. Appreciate this association very much. Been a big help to me. Appreciate Brother Moran and each of the ones here, the officers in the association. And I pray that the Lord will meet with us all. Now we're here this weekend. Appreciate your attention.